Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When synesthesia was first described in the scientific literature, it was presented as an anomaly, a rarity, and also as a form of pathology. But as time has gone on, it appears that might not be the case. Not only might it be more common than first believed, it also might not represent pathology. In fact, it's possible that it reflects the norm. Synesthesia is defined as when one sense is perceived as others. Anyone who feels blue, or has seen red, or who experiences blinding white pain knows how this works. Those of you of a certain older age might also recall the sensations evoked by the sound of fingernails being scraped on a blackboard. Viewed in those terms, it's not surprising either that many musicians experience synesthesia. There are all kinds of musical compositions in all genres composed with the idea of eliciting specific sensory perceptions. The ocean, perhaps, or the sound of birds, or a holiday, or a country, or a mood. Similarly, many artists who create sculptures or paintings do exactly the same thing. Admittedly, there are people out there who, in their work of any kind, whether they're mechanics or physicians, CEOs, plumbers, there are those who are technically good, but there are also those who have an extra knowledge of their work. They feel it, they sense it. It's a multi-dimensional experience for them. That the ability to do this appears fairly common raises two points worthy of musing in my mind. One is the possibility that all of our perceptions are connected and they evolve that way. That we didn't evolve to just be aware of sound, or just be aware of the visual scene, or just be aware of the odors, or the textures, or the tastes, or any other perception that might be. But rather than just having an olfactory system, or an auditory system, or a visual system, that these are all connected by some sort of neural net that encompasses all regions of the brain. If that's the case, I have difficulty believing that this is a system that just evolved in humans. Why wouldn't animals have need for a similar system? A comprehensive system, a holistic sensory system that enabled them to take in an entire environment in an instant, that didn't break it down to scent, sounds, motions, textures, and taste. Relative to supporting that, I think of expressions like, made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. When you feel that something is just off, maybe you know what it is, but maybe you don't. Well, most of us don't have sufficient hairs on the back of our neck to warrant that kind of response, but there are certainly a lot of animals out there that do. It's a characteristic of many of your aggressive dogs. You can see the hair go up. And cats, the Halloween cat, puffing up their whole body, piloerection, to make themselves look bigger than they really are. Synesthesia. I think it's the norm. I think there's an excellent probability that this is yet another skill that we inherited from our animal ancestors. And that I also suspect that some people, like some animals, are more sensitive to this than others. But just because some are, doesn't make them pathological. I think we need to get out of this habit of judging everything normal or abnormal based on the standards of our particular disciplines in science, or of our personal beliefs, or the beliefs of some small group that we depend on. Time and time again, we get ourselves into trouble with animals and with humans because we assume that just because something or someone is different automatically means that there's something wrong with them.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.